Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Here it is once more and again, Wednesday night. And you're listening to Wednesday Inspirational Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And it's a real privilege and an honor to come to you one more time. God saw fit, and he's allowing us to be together one more time. You know, this is 2016, and it's a brand new year. Today is a brand new day. Yesterday was a brand new day. And we are here because God saw fit to allow us to be in the land of the living. A lot of people didn't make it to 2016. But if you hear my voice, you're still here. And because of that, we say thanks to God. And we give him glory, honor, and praise for all that he's doing, has done, and promised to do in and through our lives. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. It is God that gives us strength, that gives us breath, that gives us power to move and to be. Well, first of all, I have to say thanks to God, the head of my life, and thanks to each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule week after week after week and come so we could explore the Word of God together. This is our Bible study. It's been established going on 3 years. Some of you have been with me from day one, and because of that, I say thank you. But as we get ready to go into the lesson, I want you to know that the night lesson, the topic is going to be your ladder will be greater than your beginning. We come in from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th and the 31st verse, the 28th through the 31st. As always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone. And I can open a mic, and you can pray. If no one would like to do that at this time, I'm going to check the studio screen. No one has pressed the 1 button. Madison is here with me tonight, and he takes every opportunity that God allow him to go before God in prayer. So I'm going to call Madison and let him pray, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Be blessed.
Okay, let's start with prayer. And good evening, everybody. God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to call in and that they don't get harmed during the making of this recording in the recording studio, that when they go to sleep, they don't get harmed, God. And that when they listen, they can get the full understanding, and that it could help them during life when they're down and they need an answer, God. So please let them remember it, God. And so that also in 2016, they can make a religious change to try to be more with God this time instead of with 2015, with just coming in without knowing stories, try to be more religious with you, God. Thank you, God, for watching over us right now and for all 2015, even though not a lot of people made it to 2016. But you kept some people that you knew that their time was about to come into 2016, God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison, for that prayer. Thank you for that. Y'all know Madison by now. That's Madison Andrew Chamber, my 11-year-old grandson. So some more callers has come on the line. So I'm going to repeat the topic and the verse, and we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. The topic tonight is your ladder will be greater than your beginning. It's coming from the book of Romans. We know that Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and we're going to be in the 8th chapter, And for those who read what the printed text that I sent to you, if you read it, the entire 8th chapter of Romans, you should be right where I am. But we're going to expound on the 28th through the 31st verse. I don't have much of a background, but I do have a little bit of explanation about the topic tonight. And I say the topic for tonight is your ladder will be greater than your beginning. There may be some of you saying, what do ladder mean? And why did I use it? You know, when we look up the word ladder, it means you're in. So I could say, instead of saying your ladder will be greater than your beginning, I could have said your in will be greater than your beginning or your closing. Or your final will be greater than your start. And it could say, you know, your conclusion, your ending may be better than your beginning. But in this case, I'm talking about your future. Your future is something that has to happen. And it would happen later, a ladder. So I'm saying your future will be greater than your beginning. God promises that. If we obey his word, hold on to his unchanging hands, be as an obedient child. You know, if we reason together for a little while, if we take and do everything right, you know, that's ingredients for success. So if we keep growing in God and the things of God, and we start not just hearing the things of God, but start doing the things of God, it will guarantee your future. You see, if you grow in the things of God and become mature, you know, maturity has advantages. You know, when people talk about someone and they say, that's a mature young man, and they see somebody else and they say, that's an immature man, the mature man is better equipped than an immature man. Once you know better, you should do better, and better is better is better. You see, once we begin to do good, you know, when you're wilding in your sin and you're doing things any kind of way you want, you know, you always have to look at your back and it messes you up, because there's no good things that dwell in sin. But when you let that sin alone, if it's a particular sin, you see that your future is better than your beginning. You see, all of us was lost before we received Christ. And that was our beginning. And now that he is in our lives, the latter part of our lives, everything in our latter should be greater than our beginning. You know, I went to a funeral the other day, and they spoke of this man, like they say, they told a story of him, A.D. You know, in the Bible, A.D. means before Christ, and B.C. means after Christ. So when I say the latter and the beginning, all of us begin our life not knowing Christ. So in a sense, we was A.D., but once we met Christ and we became the BC, there should be a change. BC, I'm sorry, Madison just corrected me. BC was before Christ, and AD was after Christ. So if we look at our lives before Christ, BC, and then look at our lives AD, after Christ, there should be a change. And that latter should be better than our beginning. Because you see, once we accept Christ, we became a new creature. And old things are passing away. and behold, all things become new. And if we learn to walk in the newness that God has given us, it will guarantee a greater future. So if we go to the scriptures, Romans 8 and 28, and the scripture we reads, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see what this scripture is saying? If you love the Lord, you will be more than a conqueror. God is always working things out for our good. Watch this. Even if we don't realize it. If you take time and look back over your life and really think things over, you can truly say that you've been blessed. You know when you wasn't thinking about God. You know when you wasn't doing what you were supposed to do, but God was still in the middle of it, and he was working it out for you good. You see, we have to trust him and then allow him to work his work in us. You know, sometimes we want things that will not be good for us, a good to us. You know, we ask God for some things that God know you're not ready for. God, you have maybe asked God for some things in the past, and now you're just not receiving it. It could be 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, and, you know, it comes to pass. And you have to know that God knows everything, and if he would have gave it to you back then, it wouldn't have had no profit. It wouldn't have done you no good. Because you was first of all out of position and you wasn't ready to receive it. You see, God knows what's best for us. And when you see this scripture saying all things going to work out for the good, it doesn't mean that all that happened to us is good. And just because we love the Lord, that everything will be good. But it's not what happens in our lives. The Bible teaches us we all going to have trials, tribulation, adversities, even when we love God. One of the prime examples of that, when Hurricane Katrina came, when them floodwaters came, it wet the good, the bad, and the ugly. It wasn't that God didn't love you, but some things is just going to be. But it's not what comes our way. It's how and who we go through it with. You know, the book of James say, count it all joy when you fall into divers, which mean different kinds of temptations and trials. He didn't say if you fall. He said when you fall. So we have to be alert and vigilant because the devil, the adversary, is walking around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour on every chance he gets. You see, evil is prevalent in our fallen world. It's here. It's here to stay until Jesus comes back for his people. But God is able to turn every situation around for our long-range good because he knows our future. You see, God has a purpose and a plan for all our lives, and he ordained it before the foundation of the world. You see, nothing that happens to you can take God by surprise. Nothing that you do, nothing that you say, no place that you go can take God by surprise because God knows all things. He has all power, and he's everywhere at the same time. You see, in the book of Job, for those who write, is Job 8 and 7. It says, though thy beginning was small. There's another scripture somewhere say, do not despise small beginning. Don't worry about how you start. It's all about how you finish. Because the race was not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but those who endure to the end. And if you believe and trust in God, your ladder will be better than your beginning. You might not have everything somebody else has. And you might not rise up as maybe some, but you're going to have a good life because everything is not for everybody. And Job say, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. That's Job. You see, what he was saying is that our latter will be greater than our beginning, but we have to believe it and then look to our future with great expectation. If you're not expecting nothing, how are you going to receive it? Wake up in the morning. God, I expect my day to be better than yesterday. Lord, I expect you to work in me and remove the things in me that's not of you. Lord, I expect that you open my ears that I can hear the Holy Ghost speaking and leading and guide me, and I could cooperate, which would guarantee me an expected end. You know, it's not so much predicated on us making and being good ourselves. It is God that is working in and through us. But we have to cooperate because God do the work. And he said he would do the work. And God said he'd do the work because that no man can boast. No man can have the audacity with the truth, meaning as saying, I. That's why God does the work. That's why he say, take upon my yoke, because it's easy. That's why God say, I'm going to give you the gifts that you can't earn. God is giving us evidence of who he is and how much he loves us by the things he has done. You see, in the scripture we read that all things are going to work together for the good for those who love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. You see, this scripture is not for everybody. It can only be claimed by those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So you might say, Sister Diane, what is the called? The call are those that the Holy Ghost has convinced. You know, it's the Holy Ghost's job to convince the sinner to come to Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Ghost's job is to convince you that you are a sinner, first of all, and is in need of a Savior, and let you know that Christ is the chosen one. That's what the Holy Ghost does in the beginning. You know, God, you know, give out a summon. The Holy Ghost sent out a summon, and he comes to each and every person in the world because God says his will that all sorts of men be saved. And he brings that summon, and then he give you an invitation, whosoever will, let him come. You know, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, which he have many, many more. Have you decided to put your trust in God? Your life might not be where you want it right now. You might be going through something that you figure you ain't gonna never come out. You know, your money might be funny. You know, your change could be strange. Your children may not be doing what you expect them to do. You have trouble on your job. You know? But I came to tell you, be patient. Learn and then do your part. And yes, you do have a part to play. And God will work it out for your good. You see, when you do these things, you learn and then do your part and you know, keep trusting and holding on to God in the midst of your trials and tribulation. You see, doing these things keep you in position to receive all that God has for you. And remember, what God has for you is for you. You see, there's a scripture, and I guess I say it a lot of times, and I love it because it's so real, and it keeps me focused. And that scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. And this scripture lets us know that God has a purpose and an intended plan for your future. Because the scripture reads as follows, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God talking to us. How we know it's God? Watch this. The scripture says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, said the Lord. This is God himself talking. You know, in the New Testament, you see the red writing is Jesus. In the Old Testament, when God himself say things, the scripture says, thus said the Lord. So I'm going to start it over. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Now, God say that. Do you believe it? Can you trust it? Hold on. And guess what? You might as well get with the program, because you can't stop it. You can't block it. But you could be out of position to receive the blessings. You see, when God said Jeremiah 29:11, he was talking about our end, a ladder, to become greater than our beginning. He wants us to know that through it all, no matter what state you're in right now, the best is yet to come. And by the way, God has proven that he does not allow our past to cancel our future. So those who worry about what they did and what they didn't do and if they did it and how they did it and why they did it, God doesn't allow our past to hinder our intended future. See, everything that happened to you, you know, some people don't realize, you know, the things that we did in our life that we might be ashamed to talk about now, God used all of that. You see, he used our life experiences to put us in a place where he wants us to be, because some of our life experiences is going to be necessary for the next person. If nobody had no bad experiences where they could tell somebody how they came through, then how would it be? So remember, it's not how you begun, but it's going to be all about how you finish. And for those who read the scriptures, that Romans, the 8th chapter, the first verse, it started off with, now there's no condemnation. Stop condemning yourself and stop allowing others to put condemnation upon you for what you have done. And some of us may be still doing it. But, you know, if we press in towards the mark of the prize for the high call, you know, it's not over until God says it's over. Keep it moving. And I'm going to give you an example. You know, when we read the Bible is full of examples. And all of these type of things, God put those things there for a reason. The reason that God gave us examples that we could look at a character in the Bible and we could see how they made it. We could see how low down they was and how high God raised them up. We could see, you know, how they turned their life around or what was happening in their life. And God gave us these characters in the book as a witness and as an example of what he can do in his people's lives. You know, if we look at Jesus Christ, you know, when we look at his beginning, it was a humble beginning. And to many people, it was small. And when I did that lesson on Jesus, I realized that God didn't want no fanfare. God could have had Jesus born wherever he wanted, by whomever he wanted, and because whatever he wanted. But God decided to let it be like that. Come on now. When Jesus was born, and we know it was in a manger, and God gave the message to the shepherds, who was the low class of that time, well, low class as far as jobs, to come on and witness what's going on. Come on now, y'all. Small beginnings. But his ladder was much greater than his beginning. And I'm going to give you an example of Joseph. Most of you know who Joseph is. Some of you may not know. Joseph, in the Bible, was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Let me make sure. Joseph was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You see, Joseph is an example of your ladder becoming greater than your beginning. You see, in the story of Joseph, we see that Joseph was favored by his father, and his father loved him more than he loved his brothers, which caused his brothers to hate him. Then he started having dreams concerning his success, a gift from God. He shared his dream with them, that all of them would bow down before him, even though they didn't believe him. They hated him even more. Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him. I'm trying to think right now, because I say it's the 12 tribes of Israel, but for some reason, it's making me wonder. Let me see. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had 12 sons. All right, before it's over, I'm going to make sure I'm right, because I'm just wondering right now. But Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him, but one of them wasn't willing to kill him. So they sold him into slavery and deceived their father into thinking that he was slain by a wild animal. You see, Joseph got to Egypt as a slave because his brother sold him. A high-ranking Egyptian saw something in Joseph. And you have to ask yourself right now, could others see something in you? You see, what he did, he hired him, he trusted them, and placed him in position, second in command. You see, when Joseph arrived in Egypt, he arrived as a slave, which was his beginning. And now he's second in command, which is his ladder. You see, right now everything was looking up promising to Joseph. But here come Satan sticking his head out. His boss, the Egyptian wife, wanted him. But he refused. And she lied that he came on to her. You see, the Egyptian had Joseph placed in jail for a crime he didn't commit. Joseph used his gifts that God had given him to interpret dreams while in jail. You see, the king had a dream, and no one, not even the smartest people in his kingdom, could interpret the dream. You see, when Joseph was in jail, someone was in jail with Joseph, and Joseph was interpreting dreams in jail. So when a person got out of jail, even though it was 2 years later, when the king nobody could interpret the king's dream, the guy who was in jail with Joseph told the king about Joseph, and the king summoned Joseph. Joseph interpreted the dream that could, and he interpreted the dream that there would be a famine in the land. And what was needed to be done to save the king and his people? See, Joseph not only interpreted the dream, but he gave him a plan. You see, sometimes when you're going to get something, you got to have a plan. And you got to be willing to work the plan. See, Joseph told this to the king. And the king had him released out of jail. Now, Joseph was released out of jail at the age of 30. Now, the Bible don't explicitly explain to us how long he was in jail, but he was released at 30. Now, Joseph was 17 when he was sold, Joseph was 17 when he was placed in jail. Now, he was in Potter's house. I don't know how long he was in Potter's house. So you would have to subtract the time that he was in Potter's house from when he got out at age 30, and that would tell you how long he going there. But you see how God worked it out for his good. You see, God gave him a gift to interpret dreams. You see, when God gives you a gift, if you use that gift for his glory, that gift will open doors for you that you can't even imagine. That gift will bring you to places that you never dreamed you would go. It will move obstacles out of your way that you wouldn't believe you had the strength to do it with. See, God gave Joseph the gift. And even while Joseph was going through, the gift was there. And the best thing about it, you know, God was working it out for his good. And I said a statement earlier that I have to be corrected, that Joseph was one of the tribes, was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was not one of the tribes of Israel, and I got confused at that time. But Joseph, you know, was one of the sons, because Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, Joseph was not one of them. My grandson Madison just pulled it up on the computer. But we're still talking about Joseph tonight. And Joseph was someone that God found favor in his life. And when I said it, my spirit quickened up. And then I couldn't get the thoughts together. But I don't want us to go off the air with that thought not being corrected. See, while you're going through, we may not understand, but you just have to hold on, because help is on the way. Don't get discouraged about going through, because with God, you're not going through. You're only going to. Now, Joseph, after being placed in jail, released when he was 30, Joseph now became a ruler in Egypt. Only second to the king. You see, the king also saw something in Joseph. He knew that the hands of God was upon him. God had an intended purpose for Joseph's life, and he was always working it out to the good, no matter what situation Joseph was in. When he was in prison all of that time, when he was thrown in a pit all that time. But this is the other part. Even all of the things that Joseph went through, and I told you earlier about your life experiences, God used all of those things to get Joseph to his intended end. And if you know the story of Joseph, you read it in Genesis, you'll see what I'm talking about. When God has a plan and a purpose for your life, he always provides the provisions to accomplish it. And even when you're going through, he still provides provisions while you end your trial. You see, there was no, you know, in a dream he interpreted that there would be no food anywhere in none of the lands. Only the food that would be available was under Joseph's control. You see, Joseph's father and brother and them, where they were still living when they had took Joseph and put him in a pit and sold him into slavery, they were living there. But see, there was no food nowhere in the lands. So everybody had to come to Egypt to get food, and everybody had to see Joseph. So like everybody else, his brothers came to Egypt to buy food. And when they went before him, they didn't recognize him. But it was by and by, and he made himself known to them, and they was afraid because of what they had done to him. You know, Joseph said, "Don't worry about what you did to me. Watch this. Because you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for my good." That's Joseph speaking in Genesis 50 and 20. You see, Joseph was able to save his entire family from starvation. And they saw, and they all got to see how Joseph's latter was better than his beginning. And don't worry about your enemies, because God will make your enemies his footstool. Just keep holding on. God is working it out, and your latter will be better than your beginning. So if we look at Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among the brethren. Y'all may not pay attention, but everything in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus. And God's desire for us, mankind, is to take on the image of his son. And then 30 say, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. You see, this scripture lets us know that God's ultimate goal for us is to become the image of his son. You see, 1 John 3 and 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it do not yet appear. Come on now, what he's saying? It may not yet appear what we shall be. Come on now. They say, while we living in here, and we are the sons of God, and it may not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. As he is. You see, when Jesus is coming back, and we somehow will be transformed into his complete likeness. You know, when Jesus comes back, we're going to take off the corruptible and we're going to put on incorruptible. He's going to give us a glorified body. We're going to be justified and glorified, and we're going to have the true image of Jesus when he comes back. You see, this process, this is what we got to know. This process has already begun in the life of the believers. As we become more and more like him, guess what's going to happen? We're going to discover our true selves, the person that we are created to be. And it's a shame that some people live their whole lives not knowing who they are or who they belong to. We become conformed to Christ's likeness by reading and heeding, taking heed to the word of God. What that means, stop just hearing it, but start doing it. Stop just being hearers, but become doers of the word. Come on, y'all. And study the Gospels so you can see how Jesus walked and talked and lived and loved. You see, you will feel with his spirit once you believe, but you have to cooperate with his instructions And then you can let your light so shine that men may see your good works. Excuse, and glorify the Father. You see, some believe this verse means that before the beginning of the word, God chose certain people to receive the gift of salvation. You know, there's a lot of people say if God already chose who going to be saved and who not because of this scripture, then what sense do it make for me to even try? What sense it make for me to do all of these kind of things? What sense do it make for me to worry about it? But the scripture is not saying that. God didn't choose who would accept the gift because he made us free and moral agents to choose to make our own choices. But because he's all-knowing, he knows who's going to choose. Come on now, y'all. You know, God didn't choose some people to be saved, but because he knew who would accept, he knew who would be saved. You know, before the foundation of the world, when God spoke everything into existence, he even spoke this night, me and you, with the Bible study tonight. He knows that because he knows everything. You know, but I could tell you one thing. What is clear is that God's purpose for us was not an afterthought. It was settled before the foundation of the world. And this is the thing. If you answered the call that the Holy Spirit sent out, the invitation to you, if you answered the call and accept Christ, you are now the call. So in that scripture said, when they say we are the call, that's how you became the called. Because you answered the call. And they say, you are the called. And you are God's. He's saying the devil in hell can't pluck him out of his hand. And he said he's going to work it out for your good. He said nothing's going to separate you from his love. No heights, no depths, no things to come, things present, or things to be shall ever separate you from the love of God. Because you're the call. Because you answered the call. You see, God has justified you. Justified made you not guilty of sin. Jesus died and took away the sins of the world, and God immediately justified you. And guess what? He is glorifying you daily, which is his work. But you must cooperate with the Spirit, which is your work. Evaluate yourself right now. God is going to do, is doing, has done, and is promised to do. And he's going to do his part. Because God doesn't change. He don't fail. He don't lie. So you don't have to wonder if God is doing his part. But we could put a mirror to our face, evaluate ourselves, and see if we're doing our part. And when I talked about this scripture, to whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among the brother. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. If we answered the call, we are the call. And whom he called, then he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. He's glorifying us daily if we cooperate. And I'm going to give you another example of one of the characters in the Bible where their ladder was small beginnings. When their ladder was greatness and their beginning was small. You see, I'm going to look at the life of Job. You see, Job was one of God's chosen people who reverenced God greatly. Eventually, he was one of the most righteous men to ever live, and he followed God's command religiously and constantly. You know, one day Satan told God, you know, your people ain't about nothing, and they're only going to love you because when you're doing good by them and you're giving them things, you know, he said, you know, let me just try him. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, let me have my way with him, and I guarantee you he'll curse you to your face. Here we see that Satan had to get permission from God to attack Job. And God told him, you could have your way, but you can't kill him. Come on now, y'all. Satan had to get permission. So when Satan's getting ready to do for you, he can only do what God allowed him to do. And God allowing him to do, and not to do, but to tempt you and for you to take hold to his temptation. God might allow you to go through the consequences for your actions, but still he's right there in the middle of it. Come on now, y'all. And he's working it out for your good in the midst of your storm. Come on now. Nothing can happen unless God orchestrated or allows it. And he allowed Job to be tempted by Satan. He allowed Satan to tempt Job and to bring Job through all of the turmoil that he went to. You see what happened? Job lost all of his children. They were all killed the same day. Now, you know, sometimes we get in a pity party. Nobody don't want their loved ones to die. You know, and they might lose a loved one. Here we see Job lost all of his children the same day. So that's why God said, there's nothing that can happen to you that is not common to man. And, you know, we use the rule of thumbs. You know, when I thought it was so bad, you know, my feet was hurting and I saw somebody with no, I didn't have the shoes I wanted. And then I looked around and I saw somebody with no feet. He lost. All of his children was killed. All of his health was deteriorating. All of his wealth was gone. All. I didn't say so, all. Even his family, his other family members, and some of his other friends and his friends walked away. You know, Job didn't understand what was happening in the beginning of his trials and tribulation. And we know that everything is not for us to understand. But the Bible tells us if we keep pressing, we keep hold on to the confession of our faith, we will understand by and by. And we have to be willing to hold on till our change comes. While even in his confusion and turmoil, Job stated in the book of Job, in 1:21, Job 1:21, Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said when he was going through his trials. What is the example for us right here? When you're going through, use the word of God to encourage you, to give you strength to keep going on. But I could tell you this, if you ain't got no word in you, you can't pull none up when you need it. God wrote the Bible, 66 books he inspired man to write it. He used 40 authors from all walks of life to write the Bible. God knows the Bible. He wrote it for you. You don't do God no favor when you read a scripture like I say. The Bible is your daily instruction for your daily living. If you read the Bible and you live the Bible and you take heed to the Bible, you can guarantee your ending will be better than your beginning. You know, Job turned around as he was going through. He had boils all over his body, and he was scraping them, and he was sick, and his friends was walking away, and you know, he said in Job 23:14, he said, for he performeth the thing that is appointed to me. What Job is saying, God has allowed this to happen. And it's almost like he said, oh well. And many such things are with him. See, Job understood. Job understood how nothing happened unless God allows it. People start accusing Job of doing wrong in his life. You know, man, you must have did something. You must have did something that's real bad for you to be going through like you're going through right now. You know, you must have did something in your life that is causing your your dismay is like this. You know, even his wife asked him to curse God and die. But Job said, in Job 13 and 15, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. And then in 27, Job 27, 3 and 4, look what Job said. While he's going through his suffering, all his children dead, he don't have no more wealth, no more money, you know. His wife probably walked away because she told him curse God and died. And Job still said, can we do it like Job, y'all? As long as breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood, and my tongue will not utter deceit. See, Job was just holding on to the confession of his faith. And we all know how Job's ladder was greater than his beginning. You know, because God stepped up and he rebuked Satan. Get your hands off him. That's what God do. You know, when we wilding in our sin and we hit rock bottom and Satan is there just waiting to try to get us to another all low, God step in and say, get your hands off him. God stepped in and said, get your hand off him. And what God did, he restored all that was lost. You see, Joseph got double for his trouble. He got more children than he had before. He got better health and greater wealth. And then by and by, he now understands that it was only a test. See, God does not tempt you like Satan. But God will test you. Come on now, y'all. And when God tests us, it's for us to grow into maturity, to learn from our mistakes. You know, some people go through the same mistake over and over and over again. You know why? Because they don't learn from it. You see, Job, you know, after a while, he understood that it was only a test. You see, like Job, we must be patient. And no matter what the situation brings, no matter how it looks, tastes, or smell, if you trust God, just hold on. Because help is always on the way. Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there in the middle of everything that's going on in your life. And nothing that can happen to you can take me by surprise. You see, God allows things to come our way and turn it around for our good and his glory. You see, glory, God got glory when Job passed the test. Come on now. You know, if Satan didn't really know all that God was working with, he found out more at that time. And our last scripture tonight is Romans 8 and 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you? Remember that. Please remember that. When everything seems to be against you, if God is for you, who can be against you? Nothing that they try to throw in your way. Nothing that they try to hinder you with, nothing will come to pass. You see, God has a purpose and an intended end for our lives, and no one can turn it around. No matter what the devil sends your way for your bad, God can only always turn it around for the good. You got to remember the things that we go through life, all of them, some of them could be a test, and some of them could be the consequences of your action. But these battles that we are going through, they're not ours. It belongs to the Lord. God is letting us know that he's truly working it out for our good, and we are more than conquerors if we hold on and be patient. Your help is always on the way. You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What he has done for them, what he is doing for us, and what he promised to do for all of us, it's already written. You can depend on God. Your best is yet to come, and your latter will be greater than your beginning. You got to believe it to achieve it. You got to want it to receive it. God is doing his part, and it's time for us to do ours. God say, take on the image of his son. He never told us that we would be perfect. He never told us that we would know everything. He didn't tell us that we would do everything right, but we should. You know, we're not doing good to be saved, but because we are saved, we should want to do good for a mighty God like that. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody would like to make a comment, do a prayer, or anything, you could do it at this time. If y'all don't mind, we still have 3 minutes, and I have a song that's 3 minutes that I would like to play that goes with this lesson. And we could listen to the song. If someone would like to pray anything, once this song goes off, press the button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic for you. Listen and be blessed.
A long time coming, but I know.
I thought that was so appropriate, and it just been bugging me about the 12 tribes of Israel. But Joseph would have been one of the tribes, but his two sons was placed in the 12 tribes of Israel. So because if Benjamin is in the 12 tribes of Israel, then Benjamin is Joseph's little brother by the same mother and father. So I knew it should have been, but you won't see Joseph's name because his sons is placed in there. In the list of the 12 tribes, and it had got me confused, so I wanted to clear that up. And through the grace of God, I was quickening my spirit, and I made sure we had the information. But it is now 9:30. If anyone would like to pray, you could do so at this time, or anybody would like to make a comment, anybody would like to say anything, now is the time. If not, I'm going to go ahead and do a prayer. And we're going to end for tonight. I pray that you all were blessed. I pray that you go look up the story of Job and look up the story of Joseph, and then you could be familiar with that. We have to get into the Word of God. And when I give a lesson, I can't give you illumination or revelation. It's all done by the Holy Ghost. I can only give you information, and I pray that you take that information, and it makes you dig further. It makes you go further. If I make a mistake, you should be able to help me out and correct me, you know, and I don't have no problem with that, because I tell y'all all the time, I don't know everything. But that's our lesson for tonight, and I'm going to go ahead on out with a prayer, and if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again next week. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of our souls, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that the word that went forth won't return void. Lord, I don't know who all the callers who called tonight, and I don't know what they was in need of, but Lord, I pray that you quicken their hearts, you open their ears, and they receive what they're looking for you. Lord, it's time for us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Read your word, heed your word, become hearers and just don't be doers. Heavenly Father, this is a brand new year, and we pray that our ladder of 2016 would be greater than our beginning of 2016. That should be the desire of everybody, to just grow a little bit more, because Christian growth is necessary for us to please God. Lord, I'm asking that you bless each home that is represented here, dear God. I ask that you look down on their finances, dear God. Look down upon their health, dear God. Look down upon their strength and the power that they need to live in this world. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you guide them and that you protect them, dear God, along the way. I pray that your word don't return void, and it'll help them to get further where you would want them to be. Heavenly Father, continue to mold and shape us into your intended purpose. Teach us, dear God, how to be the sheep and allow you to be our shepherd. Heavenly Father, we need shepherding right now, dear God. We need to become sheep, dear God, so that you can lead us and guide us into all righteousness and truth, and that we can give you glory. Teach us how to let our light so shine that men may see the works that you are developing in us. Dear God, with Joseph, dear God, in tonight's lesson, and you know, they saw something in him, dear God, that your hand was on him. Let our light so shine that men may see the good works that you are performing in us, dear God. Let us grow, dear God, that we become the people that you are looking for. Help us, dear God, anoint us and appoint us to do your will. And all these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name. And thank God. That's our lesson for tonight. And as we begin the year, I pray for the ending of this year. And as I said on last week, I mean, it's not a 12-step program for 12 months. I pray that the changes we make in our lives become a change for a lifetime. And that's our lesson. And God be with you until we meet again. That's the end of our program. And I just want to say God loves you, and so do I. And may the grace of God be with you until we meet again. Good night, everybody. And thank God for all of you. Amen.